Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And that's where you're at. It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I'm Sipongile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock, right here on Heart to Heart. Gave you all some beautiful sounds. These ones sound like it's a Friday, eh? And this is a Parosa featuring Pastor Isaiah Mosehla. The Lord sanctified me. And before that, Monty Zondi said, so that I... Hello, hello, hello. Hoping that you had a beautiful weekend and that all is going well with you and yours. And yeah, it's something else out there. Yesterday, I thought that we are bidding goodbye to the winter season. I was like, oh, it's hot. I mean, especially after it was pouring on... Saturday, it was raining and pouring on Saturday, and I thought, oh, it means that I thought it was going to be cold, and then the next thing, it was very hot, extremely hot yesterday. People were wearing short sleeves and all that, and then the next thing, we wake up to winter, back to square one, as we are bidding winter goodbye. It's a beautiful Monday, and the Lord is good. And so today, I'm so honored at this current moment in time. I'm just about to talk to Dr. Andrew Dixon, and we are talking about the South African manufacturing slowdown and why supporting locals should be a national imperative. You will remember that the U.S. tariffs have been increased on Friday. Am I correct? Yes, I think I am correct. I think we mentioned that even in the news today, actually from Friday. Yes, from Friday. The president was also talking about it in his newsletter that he writes, a weekly newsletter that he writes, and he's talking about that. So the impending 30% U.S. tariff increase will be effective from this Friday that we are going to the 1st of August. And this is what we are looking at. And I am so delighted at this current moment on time to talk to Dr. Andrew Dixon, who's an engineering executive at CBI Electric, low voltage, so that we can discuss this much further. Because, yes, as I said, the impending 30% U.S. tariff increase effective from the 1st of August could price South African manufacturers out of key export markets and derail the sector's fragile recovery. And export volumes are already at their lowest this year, putting thousands of jobs and critical skills development at risk. Dr. Dixon, how are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Sibongile. Thank you for having me, and I'm well, thank you, and you?
I'm good. I hope you're warm, because, we are in Russia.
It's one of those beauties of winter in Africa. I'm sitting outside, and the sun is shining, so if you can find a spot out of the wind,
yeah,
it is beautiful.
Oh, out of the wind, close to the sun, something like that.
Yep.
Dr. Dixon, why is supporting local manufacturing so crucial for jobs and skills in the pipelines?
So you've got to, this is a multifaceted problem. And if you really break it down, manufacturing is one of those abilities to turn something from not necessarily being completely useful to being something very useful. And so it's a key cornerstone of industry. And our ability to manufacture, to keep the skills in-house. And so we've seen, and with decarbonization and deindustrialization, everything's been ported offshore, primarily to China, which is great for China because it boosts their economy, it boosts their ability to do things. But then slowly, other countries lose those abilities. And obviously in South Africa, Africa as a whole, we need to employ people. And manufacturing is a great environment to be able to do that in. It generally is labor intensive. And so the ability to support them local means that you start to bring people into the workforce, you bring more people into the workforce, and then slowly you build up the economy around that workforce. So it's to me, it's a win-win.
Say that again, Dr. Dixon. You say to you it is?
It's a win-win.
But now, how closures ripple through logistics, retail, and real estate?
So, if you look at those key elements, obviously, if I start a manufacturing plant somewhere remote, and invariably remote works, why? Because you generally have people that need employment. They are often skilled in manual labor, and obviously that is the cornerstone of manufacturing. And so you employ people.
Mm-hmm.
If you employ people, people buy houses in the area because they don't want to be traveling far for work.
Of course.
You start to create a housing market.
Mm-hmm.
Then people have to eat. So retail comes in. You have to have services. Police need to be there. Hospitals need to be there. So the whole thing compounds on itself. So to invest in the ability to manufacture, A, adds value to the community at whole, but as a group, it grows and elevates that group up to a position which they previously weren't at. And obviously, as that grows and as skills become better, they can spin off, because obviously you're not going to spend necessarily 40 years with the company. You then go off and start your own manufacturing environment because you understand the environment, you understand the distribution networks, the supply chains. And so you grow on that. And so, as I said, it's this wonderful development path that just grows a local economy.
And what urgent policies what urgent policies and consumer actions that are needed to protect the sector? What are those?
So there are lots, and obviously the government is one element of that. And government obviously plays a very big role in this. It's about forming the economy. It's about making manufacturable favorable in an environment so that people want to invest in the infrastructure, because manufacturing, unfortunately, is not cheap to start. So you're capital intensive, but then once you get to commoditizing a product, then obviously it's easier to run with those things. Now, government policy comes into it, but government works slowly. They've never been a fast arm of law. So then we've got to look at the man on the street. What can you do? And again, this is where I promote looking local. You know, we can buy things cheaper. Things can come out of China that are cheaper. Do they last as long? And that's always the debate. Do they last as long? Will they have the quality, et cetera? And yes, it depends on what comes out of China. But that's putting money offshore, right? So if I go and buy it from a general retailer or wholesaler, I'm putting money into their hands, which is fundamentally going offshore. If I'm putting it into the local environment, then yes, the company itself grows, but then that, as I said, spins off other elements to it, which means that you're growing the local economy and you're generating effectively a circular economy, which then helps to grow an area and then obviously the country.
But how do we transform our minds, Dr. Andrew? Because I'm just thinking about simple things. There's so much that we're manufacturing in South Africa, but people would rather buy what is imported into the country. Is it because we are faithful to brands and we are afraid of new things? I was just, my son is using a wheelchair, and I remember even the hospitals that were helping me to get the correct wheelchair, we're not even trusting our local manufactured wheelchairs. And now you're like, okay, so we wait for something that's coming from abroad. So how do we transform our minds?
So I think that it is a big mind shift. And I think it starts with us, you and me, having this conversation first, and then that going out to the broader public. But the bottom line is, yes, I can go out and I can get the cheap thing that I'm looking for. And yes, it may serve my purpose right now, but if I'm really intent on doing something, it's like sustainability, understanding the impact of purchasing on the environment as well. So social and environmental. If I can understand what the company has to offer beyond just the product, the problem for the majority of people is you're living from paycheck to paycheck. So how do you make your money go further? And again, it's one of those, I can understand I should buy local, but local is so expensive. Well, local is expensive because all of the supply chains, the logistics is geared to support local industry, but at the same time, we don't move the volume.
What about the quality?
Sorry?
Adding the quality into that as well.
Well, quality, and invariably to me, things made by hand, yes, can have its nuances, but at the same time, the quality is there's genuinely personal involvement. So the quality is there. And you know what? South Africa has always been seen as an innovative country. They've always seen as holding a very high quality standard. So to be able to invest in that so that you can spend your time and effort as industry developing that quality, developing that infrastructure around it. And again, if I buy local today, support local, that then creates other jobs because there's obviously distribution down that. There's retail and wholesale below that. And so I'm giving additional people money and jobs. And then that goes into the economy again. Now, instead of manufacturing 10 items, I can now manufacture 100 items, which means the cost of the product should come down, which means it's more encouraging for people to buy. You know, so where we as an industry will typically make, let's call it 100 of a product, China is probably producing 100,000 of that. So their ability to sell that and flood markets around the world is there. But because they've got the scale, because we've given them the scale. What I'm saying is let's take that back. Ownership of that. Let's take that economic development tool, bring it home, and develop the skills around that.
All righty, then. Let's take a break and then come back and sum it up with Dr. Dixon. And yes, we are talking about the impending 30% U.S. tariff increase for that will be effective from the 1st of August, which is this Friday that we are heading to, which will affect our local manufacturers as well. And we're saying to family members and everybody else in South Africa that we need to support local. You know what they say, Dr. Andrew? They say local is lekker. Local is lekker. So we have to start doing that and knowing that we can trust our manufacturers right here in South Africa. We've got good manufacturers and good quality, good things that we can purchase from right here at home and keep the rent within the country, right?
Absolutely. It's exactly that. And I think you hit a nail on the head there. It is the trust element. It's believing that what I'm getting is from a local manufacturer, and it is of quality, but that's what we should all be striving for anyway.
Okay.
Is to be able to put that product in hand and say it's a good product, it's what you want, and it's what you need.
All righty then, let's take this break and then come back to just sum it up with you.
Advertiser e-business lakho ku Radio Pulpit ube semgangathweni. I-Radio Pulpit iyi-brand ethenjwe kakhulu eminyakeni edlula amashumi amane futhi inabalaleli abadlula u-400,000. Sesinama-package amahle kakhulu kanye nezindawo eziningi zoku-advertise ukuze i-business lakho likhule. Uma ufuna uku-advertise, thinta uSanet ku 012-334-1254 noma uthumele i-email kusanet@radiopulpit.co.za. Futhi ungathumela i-SMS ethi advertise ku 37871. I-SMS ikhokhelwa imali ejwayelekile.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012 334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You're on 657 AM, radio with the truth in his voice.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
And that's where you're at. You're on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It is Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. I'm not alone. I am with Dr. Andrew Dixon, and we are talking on the subject, the South African manufacturing slowdown, and why supporting local should be a national imperative. I mean, export volumes are said to already be at their lowest this year, and putting thousands of jobs and critical skill development at risk. And with manufacturing so reliant on international trade, supporting local producers has never been more urgent to protect jobs, sustain communities, and stabilize the economy. So, Dr. Andrew, can or will rising domestic demand help shield South African manufacturing from global shocks?
It certainly would. Obviously, the advantage of the global market is generally volume. There's higher volumes because just of the buying power and obviously the number of people that are out in the world, where we're sitting with only sort of, by last count, about 65 million people in this country. When you've got a world population of 9 billion, you know, there's a lot of untapped potential out there. However, without a stable base, it's very difficult to go abroad.
So how would this also affect our skill development?
So within the skills development, obviously, if I'm just looking at distributing something, I don't necessarily have to have a skill. I have the ability to do administration, bring something in from overseas and distribute it down the line. Whereas, you know, in order for us to be able to industrialize, and that's really what I'm looking at here is the industrialization. By developing the young skills, I'm talking about the artisans, the people who are on the shop floor. Those are the skills that fundamentally we've lost over time. Yes, certainly through industrial automation, some of those jobs were replaced. But in order to get machines to do what you need them to do, you have to have people who know how to interact with them. And those are the skills that you learn on the ground. Now, if we don't have manufacturing in South Africa, those skills slowly disappear. And we get, you know, the fundamental, you'll have the electrician, you'll have the plumber. But I'm talking about skilled artisans, people that know how to turn a piece of metal into a gate, into a motor. And their ability to do that is highly critical. Now, obviously, if we start to train people up, over time, they get expertise. They can then train up new people around that. They can spin off additional industries. And obviously, your whole supply chain is, in some element, a manufacturing process. So, again, it develops the entire process. In developing the entire process, and this is something that the Chinese do incredibly well, is instead of having to pay for the component as well as all the scrap material around that, you only pay for the value of the component that you put into the product, which helps you to keep the product cost down. But that's because that offcuts goes off to another industry, which then smelts it down or changes the properties and turns it into another raw material that now is inputted into another manufacturing process that becomes another product that goes into the industry. And so you can see it's this wonderful snowball effect that as you develop these skills and as you train these skills up, they branch off and become more skills, a new hub, and so it goes into the next element. Without that ability, and as we slowly lose those skills and abilities, we then get to the point where we can't reindustrialize because we simply don't have the people. And then we've got to look outside our borders to get those people in. And then they've got to look at the prospect and say, is it worth me relocating to South Africa to do something? Whereas in the past, we could do that very easy because people liked the climate, they liked the environment, they liked everything we had to offer, and they could do the work they wanted to do.
Okay, so now if a facility closes, how does this affect the communities around? How does it also affect our economy?
Well, so again, as facilities close down, you lose that core competency. People then start to look again somewhere else. And as we said earlier in the conversation, is where manufacturing can draw people to a point, now you start to have people exiting that point, which means where you maybe had three shopping centers and they were producing food and convenience and clothes and everything for the community, you then go down to two and then down to one. And you can slowly see the demise. And again, there's less money in that area, which means now people have to travel further, which means they've got less money to spend on items that they may need. And so everything else becomes just more expensive. So if you can reverse that again, then you can see the benefit.
Hmm. And so we're saying and encouraging to support our local manufacturers. What are your closing statements to our communities and business people, investors in South Africa?
So I think let's start with the investor side of things. I think to them it's a case of saying there are strong local manufacturers. There are good houses that have been doing business for a very long time. Invest in them, help them maintain their strength, because obviously they become the primary pipelines into other industries and other developing roles or businesses. Then on the community, or maybe let's go to the manufacturer side, I would say we've got to serve the public in what we do, in the products we put in the market, and how we go about, let's call it, getting it there and giving them the best value for money. At the same time, understanding that you have a responsibility because you are an employer. You've got employees underneath you that help to form that economy. So you need to ensure that you remain profitable, but at the same time, you don't need to be exceptionally profitable. You just need to maintain business so that you can grow the entire environment, understand your place in the economy. And then to the consumer, yes, I can understand that things are tough and that every cent counts, but putting value beyond what you see in the product that you buy is very important. And there, as you said, local is lekker.
Mm.
We need to be able to support them. We need to be able to grow them so that they are around tomorrow, so that those families and communities are still able to put food on the table that can grow the next level, that can grow the next generation of capabilities and skills that grow the next business.
Wow. Dr. Andrew, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. And yeah, I think we can do this. If we pull together, we can do this in South Africa. It looks scary, though, I must say. We have seen over the years some of manufacturers, big manufacturers, closing down, which was like really, really, really disturbing. People losing their jobs and also being unable to feed their families as a result of this. And this is not something, a wave that like we would like to see in South Africa coming back.
No, completely agreed. And it is scary. It is a very scary world to be working in right now. But we have to do something. If we don't do anything, that's, I think, scarier. So we need to put one foot in front of the other. We need to get that support going. And then we need to build the economy, because by building it, we make it better for everyone. And ultimately, to me, we become more, we have the access to more things as well as making them more affordable.
Thank you so much, Dr. Andrew. And thank you for challenging us in this regard. I'm hoping to see a difference, South Africans for South Africa. Thank you so much and have yourself a beautiful one.
Thank you. You too.
And yes, my family, that is how we just had that awesome talk right there with Dr. Andrew Dixon. And do remember that Dr. Andrew Dixon is, of course, an executive at CBI Electric for low voltage. And he is encouraging that we support our local manufacturers, especially with the 30% U.S. tariff increase that will be effective from the 1st of August. And this is going to affect many, many, many South African manufacturers. out of the key export markets and derailed the sector's fragile recovery. So, yeah, South Africans for South Africa. And yeah, for a full podcast, you can find it online later on or tomorrow, or you can just go to our Facebook page. It will all be there. In the background, the CC Winance, we waging war, and it's exactly 17 minutes just before one. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.